Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Chris Jelm to the broadcast. Chris is the Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer for the Kroger Company. Chris leads the technology strategies and is responsible for all aspects of engineering, site architecture, operations, and services. Prior to joining Kroger in 2005, Chris was Chief Information Officer at Sendence Travel Distribution Services and Senior Vice President for Technology at eBay. He's been a director of Rehab Care Group since 2007, a director of Kindred Healthcare since 2011. He serves as a member of the CIO Advisory Board of NewScale, which designs, manufactures, and distributes networking equipment, and is a member of the advisory board at Channel Velocity. Chris holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Information Systems from the Colorado State University and an honorary PhD in Computer Science from Colorado Technical University. I recently caught up with Chris in his office in Cincinnati, Ohio, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 2, infrastructure, as we discussed the changing technological needs of Kroger's employees and consumers, Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed the ways in which his participation in boards has helped him be a better CIO at Kroger, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Chris Jelm, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thanks, Peter. Glad to be with you.
Chris, I thought we'd begin with your current role. You're the Vice President and Chief Information Officer for the Kroger Company. And as I understand it, you've got a breadth of areas of responsibility. And I thought we'd begin with that, all that the CIO has in your case, purview as a leader within Kroger. Could you provide us some details about that?
Sure. It's pretty much, from the CIO perspective, everything to do with technology at Kroger. So that's everything from technology in our stores to, you know, the systems that kind of run the business, as well as the corporate office and other divisions around the company. Simple thing about Kroger is that, compared to some other places I've worked, it's a U.S. company, so we have pretty much everything here in the U.S. market, which makes life a lot easier than traveling the globe as I've done before.
And I noticed also another area of responsibility is overseeing small format strategy. Can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I actually work on a couple of other projects. One is the small format, and as we look at the future of, you know, meeting the needs of our customers, we're trying to figure out what's the best way to do that. So how do you combine convenience, the right locations, and the right assortment of products that satisfy that customer's, what we refer to as a fill-in trip? So I'm not doing my large weekly shop, but I am maybe picking up a couple items for breakfast or grabbing dinner for the family, or maybe supplementing an item or two in the pantry, or picking up a gallon of milk. And those small format stores historically, you know, were referred to as convenience stores, but I think particularly in urban areas, they've had a much broader variety and targeted a different customer trip. And we're looking to supplement the markets in which we serve customers with a format that we think will connect in a different way, and hopefully get a lot more of that customer share of wallet.
You've been a CIO at a number of leading organizations, from Federal Express to Excited Home, eBay, Sendent. As you embarked on this journey some number of years ago and joined Kroger, a new industry for you, how did you prepare yourself as a part of a new industry? Obviously, an industry I presume you knew as a consumer, but not one that you'd yet known professionally.
It's kind of funny, years ago when I was looking at different industries that I was interested in working in, I don't know that retail ever came up on my top 5 list or maybe even my top 10 list. And when I was, and I've had a variety of industries that I've worked in, including high tech and kind of the e-commerce digital space, and obviously FedEx in the transportation world. And when I'd left Sendin and was trying to decide what I was going to do next, this Kroger opportunity showed up on the radar, and my wife said, what a perfect place. You absolutely love grocery stores. And it's actually true. I'm a reasonably accomplished cook. I do everything from baking cakes and pies to managing the grill and everything in between. So for me, time in the grocery store is always enjoyable. And as a consumer, I enjoy the experience, but I've always looked at it with an eye towards how could it be better. And coming into Kroger, I can't think of a better place, a better business where, you get constant feedback from family, friends, every day. I mean, people always have an opinion about their local supermarket. And so it's been a real, really good experience, the 9+ years I've been with Kroger.
So can you talk a bit about innovative use of technology as you think about the portfolio of things that you oversee, as well as the portfolio of initiatives that you're leading? What sort of some of the creative ways in which you were thinking about technology and its use within Kroger?
We started a research and development department shortly after I joined Kroger, and I've always been a big believer in having that capability inside an organization. At FedEx, we had it, and at Kroger, I thought it was something that we could really apply to change the trajectory of the business. And if you think about, we engage with 7 million customers every day. We have, if you combine our fuel centers and our supermarkets and our jewelry stores, we have right around probably 4,000 retail outlets. And we have 380,000 associates, or 375,000. It changes. You have large numbers to work with, which to me always present unique and challenging problems to go solve. And when we started off, we focused on things that we thought could fundamentally change revenue or materially lower cost or dramatically change the shopping experience. And one of the early projects that's become a pretty well-known success from an industry perspective is a system that we call QVision. And QVision, basically, its mission was to improve the checkout experience for customers and associates. And we reduced the average wait time in a checkout line from around 4 minutes, which is a very competitive number from an industry perspective, and we now average around 30 seconds. And that was done with a fair bit of technology and a lot of operational execution, a lot of training, but fundamentally we dramatically improved service with very little to no incremental labor, just sheer productivity improvement. And it's using a combination of infrared scanning, some very, very good predictive analytics, so some of the algorithms. And we basically count customers coming into our stores, figuring out who's a family, who's shopping by themselves. And we do a really good job of predicting by the time of day, day of week, how long people are going to shop. And we use that to appropriately staff and in real time manage the staffing in the front of our stores to ensure that we maintain that great checkout experience. And the example I use is if you and I are working together and pretty light on the front end of the store, the manager might say, hey, why don't you guys go take your break? Well, the system tells you how many lanes are open now, how many lanes should be open now, and how many lanes should be open in the next time interval, which is usually a 30-minute interval. But if we know we're going to get slammed in the next 15 to 20 minutes, we probably wouldn't go on a break. But looking at the front of the store, you might not know that. So we basically provide a lot of visibility to what's going on in the store that might not otherwise be understood. And then there's a management system that's wrapped around the performance so that we can consistently manage that very high standard of service. And like I said, it is a combination of different technologies, but more importantly, it's the package that we assembled and the way that we engaged our Kroger associates to manage that system that's allowed us to achieve the results that we have.
so many of your peers, Chris, have an issue of the business being perhaps a bit esoteric, and therefore the average person in IT may not have a personal relationship with the business. I'm thinking like of maybe some B2Bs or B2G type companies where it's impossible to go into a store and therefore interact with the product in creative ways. Obviously, you're blessed with a business that every single person on your team, presumably at least those that are based in areas where there are Krogers, can go in, can have a customer experience, and can use that as a learning opportunity. And I'm wondering if and how you think about your team's interactions with employees, customers, just simply walking the aisles of the store, how that's used for inspiration for the kinds of ideas you've already described.
It's funny you mentioned that. I always, whenever I meet with new hires and welcome them to the company, we talk about that. And then we talk about the beauty of this company is that you can go experience our services every day and you can look for opportunities. And trust me, there are plenty of opportunities in the food retailing business. And I'll give you a second example. We recently built some custom temperature monitoring technology that goes into our frozen and refrigerated cases. And we're using a new network protocol, actually not that new anymore, but it's called Zigbee. Think of it as basically a technology that sits on the wireless spectrum, like Bluetooth or, kind of Wi-Fi. But it's a wireless technology that excels at locationing and because it creates a mesh network. Going into our stores, one of the things that you often heard complaints about were the refrigerated case or the frozen case that the compressor went out. Well, and if that happens in the middle of the night, you come in the morning and the food is obviously not at a safe temperature and has to be thrown away. And so we would manually have associates check temperature logs. So there were thermometers in these cases and people would check the temperatures multiple times a day and make sure that everything was okay. Well, first of all, not the most rewarding task on the planet. Secondly, the accuracy with which it was done maybe wasn't always the highest because it frankly wasn't the most interesting or highest priority in the store. And I was shopping in our store one day and they completely cleaned out the cheese case. And what had happened was failed compressor. And the good news is they had caught it and were able to take some product back into the freezer or the refrigerated room in the back. But point being, we weren't able to sell product. And anyway, the system got designed and we are currently rolling it out. And basically, the second there's a deviation to the normal cycle of a refrigeration or a frozen unit, it sends an alert to the store manager and it sends an alert to the repair technicians. So if there's a problem, we're catching it within minutes and they're able to repair these issues before there's an impact to the product. And once again, think of it in 2,650 stores, all the refrigerated and frozen cases. I mean, it's a big task for our associates to do that manually, and we're automating that task. And it's going to net out as a win for associates and a win for customers.
Right.
And at the time we invented that, there wasn't any technology out there that could do that. It was pretty early in its life cycle, but by having a research and development team, we were able to lower the cost, do it ourselves, leverage the network that we were putting in our stores. And that's a pretty unique set of capabilities that most retailers don't have.
Very interesting examples. I know that some of the other innovations that Kroger was on the leading edge for was self-service, self-checkout within stores. I realize others have come up to speed on that as well. But I'm really curious, as you think about customers' adoption of technology, as obviously that is a new way of experiencing the grocery store, how do you think about the extent to which a customer needs to interact with the technology in as dramatic a fashion as that suggests, the best means of assisting them in the adoption of these kinds of solutions?
I think customers, they have different needs. So some customers, they're not crazy about being in the grocery store. They're not like me. They don't enjoy it. They want to get in and out as quick as they can. And in fact, my wife would be a good example. She's kind of the polar opposite of me when it comes to her enjoyment of the supermarket. And for her, how do we facilitate her getting in and out of the store as fast as possible? So making sure her route is efficient, making sure she can optimize finding of products, making sure that she uses the coupons that she has. So how do we help somebody like her do that? Now, someone else might have a different need. So the example I like to use is customers that are gluten-free. We're working on some really interesting next-generation shelf edge technology. So think of it as a digital shelf edge. And that digital shelf edge replaces traditional paper tags. So think of it as a pricing replacement. Think of it as a tool that helps associates stock shelves. But using locationing with the consumers, we also have the ability to highlight for customers gluten-free products. So if you were a gluten-free customer, using locationing between you and the shelf edge, if you're standing there looking at nutrition bars, we could highlight on the shelf in your color of choice, we could highlight the products that are gluten-free.
Wow. Very interesting example indeed.
And to me, the other thing we talk about is think of the historical manufacturing systems that were picked to light. That was a pretty common, a distribution center, warehouse, picking solution. And we have the ability to do if you think about whether it's a customer shopping or whether it's an associate picking an order for a customer to pick up at our store to deliver to their home, we can incorporate that same pick-to-light technology to facilitate the picking of a grocery order.
Right.
The example I would give you is say you had a particular bottle of wine on your list that you wanted to get. Finding it in the wine department's not always easy, but wouldn't it be nice if it just highlighted for you the wine that you needed to grab?
Right.
We think we can shave a fair bit of time off the average customer's shopping trip, but more importantly, make it more enjoyable.
Yeah, that's great. Another topic I wanted to raise with you, Chris, you are a CIO who's joined the board of companies. You're on the board of directors of Kindred Healthcare, a public company that provides acute care rehabilitation services. You're also on the board of Dunnhumby USA. And I wonder, first of all, how you got involved in board work and also how it has benefited you as a CIO of Kroger, how you brought some of the insights from the conversations you're having in two very different industries than yours to bring back to your day job as well.
I got into the board opportunity. Actually, I was on the board of the startup company that I was on. I chaired that board, which was a great learning experience. We had some venture capitalists, angel investors, and then Gary Loveman, the CEO of Harrah's, was on our board. So, it was earlier in my career a great opportunity to kind of get a feel for what it meant to be a part of a board. And then probably 7 or 8 years ago, I got a phone call from a recruiter who was looking to fill a board position at a company called RehabCare. And RehabCare was a public company. A little smaller than Kindred, and they had some technology issues, pretty significant ones with project delivery, and they were looking for, and they didn't have that experience on their board. So they were specifically looking for somebody that could come in at the board level and help provide some strategic guidance on how to attack some of these problems and also serve as a mentor and a resource to the CIO. And that was kind of how I got started. I was fortunate enough to be selected to be on that board. And then after several years of, and happy to report, a fair bit of success in tackling problems. And it's a breadth of experiences that you bring. I mean, having worked in a number of companies and industries that I've worked in, there was definitely some new terminology to learn in healthcare. But, how you attack business problems and how you apply technology to those solutions and what are different techniques. And I remember as we were talking about some innovation, some of the thought process that I borrowed from FedEx helped me think about productivity improvements for our therapists. And we were able to deploy some technology that really helped improve productivity. It was pretty progressive. It was using some mobile devices. We happened to have leveraged the Apple technology because we thought it was a good fit for You know, its ease of use was a good fit for our therapists, but their ability to track and manage their activities and time with patients ended up being a real win. So that was how I got started. From there, Rehab Care was acquired by Kindred Healthcare. That was about probably going on 3 years ago. And they ended up selecting two of the Rehab Care board members to join the Kindred board, and I was fortunate enough to be one of the two, and have been working with the Kindred board over the past 3 years.
That's great. And do you find, especially now that you've been on boards for so long, the topics that are covered, are they, you know, as I think about the many people profiled as part of this series, it seems like there are some companies that are looking for assistance on items like security, which are becoming so much more prominent naturally. But also others are looking for new innovative ways to leverage technology. Do you find that your role on the board is to address either or one or the other to any great extent?
I think the answer to that question is it varies. So I would say, we were, at the example I gave with Rehab Care, we had some specific technology execution issues to work through. And that included a change of CIOs, and I helped with, you know, the recruiting process for that position. At Kindred, I would say really strong execution, and we focused a little more of our energy there on the technology innovation, and they recently brought on a new CIO, and I was part of that process, got to talk to their, you know, I wasn't part of all of the interviews, but kind of the final interview, talking to their preferred candidate and helping provide some thoughts on how to attack innovation, knowing the board, knowing the management team. You know, it's kind of a mentor or certainly a support resource to accelerate the new CIO getting up to speed and effectively working with the board. So I think in that case, it was earlier on, that was kind of the focus. I would tell you over the past 6 months, information security, while it's always been a board topic, has had a little bit more passion and energy around it in probably every boardroom in the country.
Right.
And I think the experience that I bring or a sitting CIO would bring is useful, partly because it's a different industry, and that in this case, I think retail has been a little ahead of the curve in terms of being a target for the bad actors, because we had, you know, data assets, credit card information, personal information that people have wanted. But look, the healthcare industry's got valuable data as well, and I do think it helps the rest of the board when they have a member of the board that can go deeper on a topic and provide some guidance and feedback to help make sure the board's appropriately spending its energy to support the company.
Right. Makes a lot of sense. As you think about your background, what is it about your experience that you think made you qualified to be board ready? And I ask this question because I know a lot of our listeners will be hearing these stories about you, Chris, and wonder, you know, how they might follow in your footsteps. So perhaps you can offer a few thoughts on the kinds of things if a CIO with, let's say, a decade or 15 years less experience than you have, who hopes to become a board-level CIO, the kind of advice you might offer to him or to her?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think the first thing is to be a well-balanced business leader. You have to be able to grasp the opportunities, the challenges, and work as a part of a team to go solve those. You know, you happen to bring a specific expertise, or in my case, you know, I happen to bring a specific expertise to the board, but you're part of a team, and your ability to understand whether it's the healthcare industry or the retail industry or the transportation industry, but how you identify opportunities, how you address strategic planning, how you address business planning and hiring of talent, succession planning, I mean, all of those things that business leaders deal with are how you as a board can support the company. So I think first and foremost, if you are narrowly identified and viewed just as an IT professional, I think you're going to miss the mark for what, you know, most boards are looking for. The second thing is you have to engage, and I think most business leaders are, you know, pretty balanced at doing that. But look, you have to be part of the conversation. So whether you're sitting in an audit committee meeting discussing an audit, or whether you're part of a comp committee discussing comp, you need to do your homework. You need to be prepared, and you need to engage. You don't only engage when an IT subject comes up. They expect you to be fully engaged and participate on all board subjects, as they would expect a CFO, former, you know, or a CEO, any board member. That diversity of experience they want applied to all topics.
Makes sense.
And then maybe the last thing is, we at Kroger, one of our board members retired recently, a longstanding board member, and he was giving advice to the rest of the board, and he said, just remember, noses in, fingers out. And basically, you know, it's really easy to remember, and I think it really helps, because look, my job is not to manage the business. My job is not to manage IT. My job is to understand, provide guidance, provide input where asked, and basically be a resource to represent the shareholders' interests. And I think I would encourage people out there to get engaged in their own companies, even at the board level, the time with the board members, and ask those questions. Ask them about the board. Ask them about their role, how they see their role, because I think those different perspectives are useful. And I also encourage my team, and I look for opportunities for them to be on advisory boards, to start with the not-for-profit board, but to get familiar with the governance and what the responsibilities are of the board. And I think the more experience that young leaders can get, the better position they'll be when they get that first opportunity to join a private board or a public board.
Right. I wanted to close out, Chris, by asking you about your own perspectives on trends that particularly excite you. There have been a number we've already talked about, but are there others that, you know, as you look out a year, two, three, that particularly excite you in the business application of new kinds of technologies and so on?
We could go so many places. I think it's just a fascinating time. There's so much going on. I mean, just a couple come to mind. One is productivity. I just think there's going to be just a continued explosion, kind of the hockey stick effect of what we're going to do to leverage technology to drive productivity, whether it's locationing technology. I think open source is going to have a huge role in both speed and productivity. The globalization that's taking place, the amount of data. I mean, you think about my example from earlier with infrared. We're doing a video system that we're rolling out that has onboard video analytics that we're using for all kinds of interesting queue management solutions in our delis and meat departments, to identifying traffic patterns and helping with store design. And I mean, so there's just an enormous amount of IT that's going to be applied to improving productivity. And then the other one for me that's top of mind, that I think we're just scratching the surface, is personalization. So whether it's in our world helping, as I described earlier, to facilitate the shopping trip of customers, to improve how they can engage with us, they give us a lot of data. They frankly share a lot of data online, you know, social media. And how can we use that data that they're willing to share in a way that we can create better services? I mean, I use my gluten-free example, but if a customer is willing to tell me that they're gluten-free, why wouldn't I want to share with them gluten-free products, whether it's in a promotional advertisement or, frankly, in coupons that I offer them? We're currently relevantly ranking digital coupons for customers. We hit the billionth customer download for digital coupons early last year, and it's a cumulative number that we track, and the pace is accelerating. But part of the reason I think the pace is accelerating is because we're making it relevant for the consumer. So it truly is a personalized interaction with the services that we offer. And I see that mobility's had a role in that. I think locationing has had a role in that as well. Customers' willingness to share data, but all of that packaged together creates some really compelling experiences. And I think companies like Uber are a great example of how those technologies converge and both improve productivity, but also create a great experience.
Great points. Well, Chris Jelm, thank you so much for joining us on the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your insights and a bit about your experience, those experiences that have made you the successful executive you are. It's been a great conversation.
Peter, I appreciate your time and the work that you do, and happy to contribute.
Thank you so much.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategy's Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategy's five principles of world class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.